Welcome, everybody. Looks like the doors have closed, so we can begin. Welcome, everybody. We're going to talk about Windows Intune today and kind of how it has developed around consumerization of IT. My name's Craig Morris. I'm a senior program manager for the Windows Intune product group. Prior to that, I used to work on Configuration Manager for quite some time, so I've been working in the client management space for quite a while now. So what are we going to look at today? So really what we're going to look at today is really what was built into the new release. As you know, it was announced on Monday that we've gone live with this third version of Windows Intune. So we're going to take a look at specifically the features associated with how do we allow users to use whatever device they've got to make sure that they're productive in their environment. And how does the IT administrator make sure that that can happen? So we're going to look at how we're embracing the consumerization of IT in Windows Intune as well. All right, so what is the vision of Windows Intune? I know probably there's a bunch of you probably been asking this question for a while. Really, it breaks down into four things. First of all, we want to make sure we enable a flexible work style, right? When I was working in Configuration Manager, for example, we always had this old saying that we wanted to make sure that user X got application Y, and that's really what it's about, making sure that whatever device the user is using, wherever they are, they're able to get the software they need, they're able to be in a secure environment on that device, and they're able to get their work done, because at the end of the day, that's really what the IT staff is trying to provide. So that's the first part of our vision. Second part is to complement Configuration Manager. So as we all know, Windows Intune is a cloud-based client management software. And it allows us to reach devices that Configuration Manager or even other on-prem applications are unable to do, right? All we need is an internet connection. In some cases, we'll have a client on the device. In other cases, we won't. But just to lower the total cost of managing those devices as well. Thirdly, we want to make sure that we're on the latest version of Windows. So the license for Windows Intune, subscription-based, includes the upgrade license for Windows 7, and as we go from build to build on Windows, that license continues. And then lastly, and what's probably one of the most challenging things for the engineering group, is to build rapid release cycle. We're shipping every 6 months. The benefit for a customer's point of view for that is that as we're building features, we don't have to wait for other features to catch up, so we've got a complete solution for a particular scenario. And we can start building those out now. So as soon as we have something that's ready and is the quality that you'd expect from Microsoft, we can make sure it makes that next 6 monthly release. And you'll be able to see some of the work that we've done. I think this third version, we've done an awesome amount of work in 6 months, given that we've gone through a beta and also shipped to production. So it's we're starting to get into that rhythm. It does take a different mindset from an engineering perspective. A lot of the engineering team are very passionate about their features, as you would expect. But making sure that you know they're at the quality and they're ready to go, we can always delay them to the next release if they're not up to the quality standard we want. All right, so Windows Intune. As I said, we've got a release cadence of every 6 months. So the first version shipped in April 11, really focused around updates and making sure that machines were secure. Second version, second wave, was October 11, which... it's actually a long time ago now that I think about it. Really making sure we can do software updates, endpoint protection, software distribution to devices. And this third version, Wave 3, is really focused around empowering the user and empowering the administrator to think about the user and the devices that they're using. This is kind of an interesting slide, and you may have seen this slide already in some of the presentations that have been done this week, but... you know, it wasn't so long ago we always associated a user with one device. It was their desktop. They got all their work done on their desktop. Well, obviously, that's no longer the case. And if you've missed that, then you know, I don't know where you've been. But so in recent surveys, they found out in 2011, for example, power users, which, of course, that's all of us, right? We're all power users, had between 5 and 7 devices that are internet connected. IDC also found out first of all, they found out there was around 900 million smart connected devices that shipped in 2011, And by 2016, which is not that far away, they're expecting that to double. And that's probably conservative, I'm thinking. One of the interesting stats that came about is that they asked the organizations how many users were actually using their personal devices, the personal devices to do work, or to do business activities. And the organization said, well, there's about 34% of my employees that are using these personal devices to do work. So then they turned around and asked the employees, how many of you are using personal devices to do work? And 69% of them said they're using their personal devices. So there's a little bit of a gap around, you know, how many personal devices are actually being used to do work. And it really comes down to, you know, we've had this concept of work-life balance. And it's really changed from the point of view of making sure that work and your personal life are kind of separate to the point where it's more about making sure that I can have a good quality of life because I'm quickly able to get onto something, get onto a device, get my work done, and get back to my personal life. So it's not necessarily that you keep all your work separate when you're at home or you're with your family, but it's being able to not have to drive in for half an hour to do something at work in the weekends and come back out again, right? It's about getting onto the internet, getting onto these devices, get the work done, get back on with your life. So with that in mind, you know, what are some of the new challenges for the IT department around this space? Well, first of all, you know, and this is to some degree also associated with the Wave 2 work we did, but you know, workers are in many locations, and many locations can be home locations, they can be work locations, coffee shops, for example. Microsoft is, you know, has a lot of employees that, for some reason, go to Starbucks. A lot of these devices are not the main join, so how do we manage these devices when we don't have credentials necessarily for these devices? Users are also offline for a period of time. So how do we make sure they're still secure, they're still able to make sure that they've got their updates, they've got their anti-malware is up to date when they're actually offline? And offline being, you know, they're not necessarily always connected to the corporate network. They're still using, you know, corporate data, they're still using corporate applications, they just don't happen to be connected to the corporate network. Obviously, you don't want to compromise security, so we talked a little bit about that. And I think most IT shops have pretty much given up on the standard configuration, right? These days, there's multiple configurations. There's the bring your own device to work, which, you know, from anything from a desktop to a mobile device. The administrator's given up trying to make sure that these are all standardized equipment. I think that's just gone. It's just not going to happen. One of the things the administrator does want to know is what kind of devices are connecting to my network, right? So having insight into those PCs, into those devices, and actually what kind of configuration they have. And then obviously one of the big challenges with having a client management system or a system that's, you know, monitoring these devices is the cost of building that infrastructure to make sure that these devices are able to connect. So minimizing that infrastructure cost, especially around things like upgrades, right? If you're upgrading every 6 months, imagine if this was an on-site, an on-premise solution and you are trying to upgrade your environment every 6 months on the server side. We've taken care of that for you. So a quick view of, you know, what Intune does today. All right. So it helps you protect your PCs using anti-malware software. We're using the engine from Forefront, same as Configuration Manager. So the engine's the same, the digital signals are the same. Manage updates, making sure you're up to date with Windows updates as well as the non-Microsoft updates as well. We can distribute and software. We can distribute them to PCs. So if you've got software that, you know, needs to be on these particular sets of machines, or you want to make sure it's on all your machines in your environment, you're able to push that out. And we'll talk about user-centric software distribution shortly. Proactive monitoring and alerts. So you're able to actually see what's going on in your environment, how many machines failed to install updates, if there's new updates that need approval, for example. You'll be able to provide remote assistance. So anywhere in the world this user's got a problem with their machine, they're able to request that you're able to connect to them and help them out. Inventory hardware and software. It's often, you know, kind of defocused as far as the priority of having this information available, but for companies that don't have a client management system, that don't have that hardware and software inventory, this is extremely valuable. Just knowing what's in your environment, knowing what software is on these devices is amazingly important. Track and monitor and track licenses. So we actually be able to hook into the volume license agreements that you get from Microsoft and other vendors and actually marry that against the inventory data that's coming back from those devices. and also set security policies, especially around these mobile devices, being able to make sure that they have a PIN on those devices, make sure those drives are encrypted. Maybe you want to turn off the camera if you're a production shop, especially if you're manufacturing, right, and you've got patents regarding your manufacturing process. You don't want people walking around with smartphones going, right? All right, so what do we focus on for this release? Well, it really comes down to one thing, which is user-centric management. You've heard user-centric, you've also heard people-centric, same thing. All right, so three areas that we focused on. First of all, providing an experience where the administrator has that user-centric experience. They can think about the user first and then not have to worry about which devices those users are using, right? We have applicability rules that will take care of when you go to install a piece of software. It'll make sure it only installs on the devices that would actually be successful at installing those devices. Second thing is the self-service portal. Probably a lot of time administrators spend is getting that email or that phone call from the end user saying, hey, I need this piece of software on my device. Well, being able to provide an experience where the administrator can say, I think this group of users needs this piece of software. Let me make it available to them in the self-service portal. The users can then go in there at their leisure and decide whether they want to install it or not, right? So it takes a lot of those help desk calls, a lot of those escalations around making sure that the users have the right piece of software. And then lastly, just mobile device management itself, right? Being able to manage those smartphones and mobile devices, both personal and corporate. So that's kind of what the big focus was for the third release. So what does that look like from an architectural point of view? Well, first of all, as far as what's actually installed on your corporate devices, there is a client agent that gets installed on your PCs and your desktops. For the mobile devices, they're actually managed through the Exchange Active Sync connector. And that's all that's on your premise, right? Everything else is run in the Microsoft data centers in the cloud. The IT administrators manage everything through a web portal experience, right? So they're able to manage everything through a web console. The end users have their self-service portal. They can manage which devices they have, their association with those devices, as well as make sure they can get the software they need for those particular devices as well. A couple of ports need to be opened, obviously, 80 and 443. And one of the big things we've done to an order user-centric computing is to actually integrate with AD, right? Your users and their security groups are already stored in Active Directory, so why do we want to go around and be in the business of trying to maintain additional groups when that information is already stored on your on-premise environment? All right, so how do we allow the administrator to think users first? Well, first of all, we extract, we leverage AD from Azure, and we bring in those users and security groups from that. So you actually use directory synchronization from your AD on-premise environment, and we synchronize those users and those security groups down into the Intune environment. User device affinity, personal favorite of mine. I built the feature for both products, so I'm a little bit partial to this one. But user device affinity just means that I'm able to work out from a user perspective which devices that user has, right? And conversely, which is the primary user of that device, right? That means that when I go to target a particular user, I have a pretty good idea of which devices that user is going to use to install that software, right? Most software is still licensed per PC, so at least you have a good idea of which devices are going to receive that pieces of software. Dynamic grouping. So we did dynamic grouping in this release both for users and for devices. So in Wave 2, you were able to say, here's a group, and here's a list of devices that are in that group, and it was pretty much a static list. What we did in Wave 3 is actually allow you to create that on a dynamic basis. So for users, you're able to say, my configuration for this particular Intune group is everybody that's in this security group, and or reports to this manager, and then also you can include exceptions, right? So then when you're managing that environment, you can say, all of my salespeople, they're in this security group here. That security group is the criteria I'm going to use to build this Windows Intune targeting group, so that I can make sure they get the software. When new salespeople come on, they get added to that security group on-premise. That gets replicated through Windows Azure, through Azure AD, and then that gets synchronized down into Intune. So then the next time they log on, once that replication has occurred, they go to the self-service portal, they're going to see all those sales apps available to them. You didn't have to do anything, right? You already targeted that software to that security group. And then when they join that security group, once replication has occurred, they get their piece of software. All right. Same thing for manager. So you can target based on manager. The same is true for the mobile device policies, because they're targeted at mailboxes. So whenever a new user joins, you join them to those security groups, they're going to receive the security policies related to those mobile devices. All right, so that's enough talking for a while. Let's actually see what this looks like. Let's see if I get the right button. All right, excellent. All right, so here is our admin console. Just to give you an idea of the environment I'm actually using here, I'm putting great faith in the demo gods. I have a network cable here. It's connected to the internet, and it's running our production version. And it timed out because I haven't logged onto it for a while. Not a minute. Log back in. Okay. So this is our admin console. All right. And one of the things I want to point out first of all, so we had alerts before in Wave 2. And what we've done is actually trying to make them a little bit easier to navigate around. First of all, you can actually sort those alerts by date, by category or severity. So if you only want to see the high priority ones, it's going to resort them and make sure you show the critical ones first. All right. The other thing you can do, and one of the bigger challenges we had or customers had with Wave 2, is how do I configure those alerts? Because maybe there's some alerts that are not as critical to my organization that are as critical to what the defaults were. What I can do here, you'll notice that if I hover over these, I get this little pencil. I can click on this, and it directly allows me to edit that particular configuration of that alert. Maybe I want to say that, you know, this is just an informational warning, or I could even disable this if I wanted to. So maybe I'm not interested in the disk space that's available on these devices. I don't care. It's not an alert I want to be told about. I can set that to that, and then any of the alerts that are associated with that will then come through. User-centric. Okay, so let's talk about users and groups. You'll notice that we now have a node called groups. It used to be called computers, and we have to change the icon because now we added the little man as well as the picture of the PC. You'll see that in this environment, we're not just using this for demos. We're actually using this to manage the TechEd devices. So you'll see down here I have TechEd Europe and I have TechEd North America. There are 404 devices that we're currently managing on-premise here at the moment that are the self-paced labs that we're actually managing. We're making sure they have their updates and they've got their anti-malware signatures up to date at all times. You'll see some of them also need approvals to be for their updates. But let's talk about users. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to create a group for myself because I'm important. And what I want to do is actually go and create a new group. And I'm going to make it the engineering team because that's me. And you'll see here what I'm able to do is I'm actually able to select which security groups I want to use to actually define the criteria for this group. As well as the manager. So I could say, you know, everybody that reports to a certain manager should be a member of this group. And then as members report to that person flow in and out, they'll automatically be added to this group. In this case, I'm going to find the engineering team. So this is a security group on our on-premise AD environment. I'm going to add that to the criteria. I could also, you know, as you could do in Wave 2, I can still add additional users if I wanted to. Right, directly. In this case, I don't want to do that. I can also include exceptions. So, for example, a really good example of this is I want to include everybody that's in sales, but you know, not the VP of sales. Right? You may not want to distribute certain software to him, or you want to have him in a certain different group altogether. In this case, I will select finish, and that is going to then create that group. You'll see that I've created a new group called engineering, and if I go look at users, you can see that I've been added to this group, right? Also, because we have user device affinity, I'm also able to see which devices that particular user has. So you can see I have a whole host of devices here. I have a mobile one, which I didn't know I had. Interesting. Don't know where that came from. All right. What I want to do now, though, is if I switch over to our self-service portal, and again, that's timed out, but let me just log in again. Okay, there it is. So these are the applications that are available to me, right? So these have been targeted at me. So if I had somebody else in our organization logged on, they may see it in an entirely different set of applications that are available to them. As you can see, I have four applications. I have Adobe, Office 365, Remote Desktop, and Skype. Just to prove to you that there's no smoke and mirrors, or not many smoke and mirrors, I will go into Manage Software. One of the things you'll notice in Manage Software, we have some different applications in there. We actually have some iOS applications. We also have some Android applications. I'll save that for later. But we'll use the PowerPoint Viewer, and I'm going to manage the deployment of that. And I'm going to deploy that to the engineering team. Simple click. And then by default, when you target users, it's set to not install, so I want to change that. When we target users, we actually we do what's called an available install. An available install is the one that's going to show up in the self-service portal. So I will select that and make that available to myself and select Finish. And then that has now been provided to me, and we'll see how quickly the system can provide that for me. Look at that. So me as a user can go into the self-service. Pretty good, huh? And that went all the way up to the cloud and back again. Good old wire. Alrighty. What else was I going to show you? I've got a list here just to make sure I covered everything I wanted to cover. Oh, so how do you associate a user to a device? Well, I can come down to this device, group here, and this has a list of devices in it. And I'm going to mess with my marketing person because he's in the room. And at the moment, he, as you'll see, is the primary user of this device. Depending on how this presentation goes, he may not be around any longer, so we can remove the association he has to this device. Okay, and I can go and add myself as the primary user of this device. Right. So then for any software that, if I log on to his device, I can go to the self-service portal and see the software that's available to me. All right. I will cancel there, and hopefully he doesn't get in trouble. All right. Remote tasks. So as you may have been aware, in Wave 2 we did have remote tasks, but we have extended those remote tasks. We've added two new remote tasks. You can now refresh policies on that device. So maybe you're creating one of the new security policies for mobile devices, or you're creating them for the PC. You've made some configurations to software the update configuration or your anti-malware update configuration. You can make those changes and then select the machine that's been targeted for that policy and click refresh, and it will quickly refresh that policy for that user. You can make sure you've made the changes appropriately before you then go and before all your other clients are going to start pulling down that new policy as well. The other thing you can do is refresh inventory. So maybe you don't have an up-to-date inventory for a particular device. It hasn't been online for a while, but you've noticed it's online now, or you have it in the office. You can quickly do an inventory refresh and get up-to-date information on that particular device. Okay. And then lastly, so the company portal. So the self-service portal, you're seeing that it's got the nice blue background, it's got the nice blue pictures of the particular applications. One of the advantages of shipping every 6 months is we're actually able to make quick changes to the environment based on customer feedback, right? If we're shipping every 6 months, it's quick to get the feedback, it's quick to make those changes. One of the things we learned when we were building Configuration Manager is that certain companies are not big fans of blue-based self-service portals, especially when their company color is red. So one of the things we wanted to make sure we could do is actually change the colors of the self-service portal. Now, it might seem like a fairly simple thing to do, but it was amazingly important to particular customers to make sure they can do that, to make sure it's branded like their company colors are. The other thing I can do is actually change the contact details of the help desk person for our self-service portal. So I will make those changes, and we will see how quickly this can occur. There we go. All right. So then we're able to change the color, make sure it aligns with our company requirements. And the contact person you'll see has also been changed to myself. Please dial that phone number for any questions. All right. All right. So that's kind of the admin experience from a user-centric point of view. All right. So let's switch over now and talk a little bit about stay. All right. Active Directory. So I showed how we had the users in the environment. We were able to target them. We were able to target the security groups associated with these users. So how did all that magic happen? Well, what we did is you actually synchronize using DirSync into the Azure AD environment. And then once that occurs, we then, as Windows Intune, synchronize that information down into the Windows Intune database. We're able to then target those users based on that information. So there's a couple of ways that can be done. So first of all, if you don't have an AD environment, you can just use the Windows Azure. What, I don't know why I keep saying that. Anyway, Azure AD environment, and you can actually create your users and create your groups within that environment. And what you're able to do is actually go into an account portal that we've provided for Windows Intune and manage those users. It's the same portal type experience you'll get with Office 365. You're able to create users. You're able to assign those users to groups. Second way you can do that is using DirSync. And DirSync is going to synchronize to the cloud, and it's going to synchronize to Windows Intune. That allows you then to manage all of those users, manage those security groups on-premise. To go one step further then, you can do federated identity. What that means is that when the user goes to the self-service portal, it's a single sign-on experience. In order to do that, you also need to install the federation ADFS configuration on your environment and make sure that your user devices are able to connect to that environment. They've got a bunch of white papers on how to do that, so I won't go into those details. But that's how you would configure it so that you have single sign-on. They don't have to remember an additional password when they actually go to the self-service portal. So let me just jump over here and show you what that looks like. So now we're going to actually go look at what we call the Intune account portal. As you can see, here's a list of all the users that have been permitted to use Windows Intune. So maybe you have a bunch of users. You have 100,000 users. You want 1,000 of those users to be managed by Windows Intune. You can actually manage them here. You can actually go in here and go and add users. You can add security groups. They don't replicate back to your AD environment if you are using AD. So normally if you're using AD and you're doing DirSync, we recommend you continue to manage your users and security groups on-prem and let the replication take care of the rest. But you say, how do I do that? I'm like, well, first of all, let's go into setup. In the setup, we have this nice 6 steps in order to configure directory synchronization. It tells you how to prepare for it. It tells you what you need to do for the domains. We make sure that you have a registered domain to make sure that you are who you say you are. You do own the company domain before you actually create DirSync. And then it walks you step by step on how to download the directory synchronization tool and how to configure that to synchronize with the Azure AD environment. And then how the users will be synchronized. And there's a really good white paper on how you can actually configure which users, based on OU or domain, you actually want to replicate. So maybe you don't want to replicate everything. So that's how you get to there. So how do I get to single sign-on? Well, if you want single sign-on, then you have to go through the 10 steps to success. Okay? We walk you through that process as well. All right? So there's 3 different ways you can configure it. You can just use this and sign up and create users and devices, users and security groups. You can do DirSync, and then on top of DirSync, you can also do federated services. Okay. Make sure I hit the right button. Okay, so what are the key takeaways from an administrator's point of view? Okay, so we're leveraging, if I haven't said it enough already, we're using the Azure AD environment. It's the same environment that's shared with Office 365, so the accounts are similar. You can manage those users, as I said, from your on-premise environment. So there's not, got nothing necessarily to do with the operations team of Windows Intune. You manage all those users. You manage those security groups. And then we use user device affinity to map those users to the devices that you're using to deploy software to. So that was the IT administrator's side of things. Let's look at the user side of things a little bit more. So as a user, when I go to the self-service portal for Windows Intune, I can actually self-enroll devices. So we can actually, as an administrator, say, I'm going to let you enroll devices in the Windows Intune. I can also remotely wipe my mobile devices that are connecting through my Exchange ActiveSync connector. And I can also manage my user device affinity. So I can say, you know what? I don't own this device anymore. But I also see all the devices that I do own or are related to myself. We talked a little bit about, and I kind of quickly demoed what the self-service portal looked like. We'll actually look at some more examples shortly. as I said, company branding, I can change what the name of the self-service portal looks like when the user connects to it. I can easily search and install software. It's made it, they're targeted pieces of software, so it's not like you publish every piece of software in your organization to every user. If you only want certain users to see certain pieces of software, that is the case, right? You target those particular user groups as to which software they can see, which software they can install. And probably one of the bigger benefits is that you don't need administrative privileges in order to install that software, right? We have, especially in the case of the PC, we have the agent on the client. So it actually, the self-service portal, when you say go and install, it talks to the agent does the installation, so you don't need those elevation of privileges. And you're also able to contact your IT for support. So let's take a deeper look at the self-service portal. So what I'm going to do now, I'm actually going to connect to another self-service portal. So this particular machine, just to give you some context, is my Windows 7 VM running on Hyper-V on my Windows 8 RC desktop. One of the best features, I think, of Windows 8 is the fact that I have Hyper-V in here now. I was going to have to bring two laptops to do this presentation. Now I only have to bring one. As you can see, the colors have changed because I made that configuration already. All right, so let's go look at apps. Here's all my apps. I can actually filter them by category. Maybe I'm looking for some Office Suite productivity tools. It brings up the Office applications that are appropriate for that. I can do sort by title, sort by publisher, modified date. Maybe imagine if I had 100 applications here that's been made available to me. How am I going to find what I'm looking for? And that's not a U2 reference. Okay, I can do search. So I can actually search for a particular application. Okay. All right. So that looks all pretty. We've kind of seen what it looks like. Does it actually work? Well, let's find out. So I can go into an application. What it's going to do is actually going to see which devices are associated with me and which of them are applicable for this particular application. You'll notice it is not showing this other device here, which will not install this particular application or this particular version of this application. So it's only showing me the devices that I own that would actually work on this that would work for this piece of software. In this case, I am going to install it on this guy here. One of the other things you can do is this here got more information. So you can actually link this. In this case, we've linked it to the Adobe.com website and get more information on Reader. But this could just as easily be referring to a particular internal or external URL from your company, maybe for some training on this particular application. We'll go ahead and install. You can see that it's installing. And hopefully the pop-up soon tells me it's downloading. I didn't say anything. All right, we'll come back to that one. Let me make sure. I saw some updates. It needs to restart before it's going to work again. Oh, doo! Okay, so as you can see, we're actually able to make sure that the machines are compliant and they're patched with their appropriate software updates to make sure they continue to work and continue to be secure before you install new pieces of software. Anyway, luckily I have another demo on how to install a piece of software on a device, so we will carry on. Devices, that's what I was going to show you. So once I do the reboot, it'll then fire up and it will actually do that install. I will do that shortly. But I want to show you the list of devices that I currently own. As you can see, I've got the iPad here. I've got my Windows 8 tablet that's in the bag here for the presentation that's after this one. I also have a bunch of Windows PC-based machines. You'll notice for the iPad, I can actually, as an end user, trigger a remote wipe. Right? So say maybe I left this in the conference room somewhere. It's now no longer there. I can actually trigger a remote wipe, as can the administrator do a remote wipe on that device for me. Okay. All righty. Yes?
Does it push the profile down on your iPad then?
It does push. Well, very good question. I will get to that. But yes, it does. It actually pushes down a security profile and allows you to configure to make sure it's secure, right? And that's a good segue into my next session. So. Yes? secure. No. What we do, well, we're using the Exchange ActiveSync connection. So all we're doing is configuring the security settings that you would normally get with the Exchange ActiveSync. So no, we don't have a separate security container. All right. Actually, before I do that, let me just restart this guy so I can prove to you that it does actually work, and we'll come back to that. Excellent. So that's restarting. And supplying the updates. Okay, modern device management. Okay. So what do we want to do in this space? Well, we want to make sure that we can obviously manage all of the devices that the users are using. We also want to make sure they have a common experience. So whether you're, as an administrator, managing the users' mobile devices or their PCs and desktops, you have a common experience. We don't want you to have a special experience just to manage these devices. We also want to make sure that we have a user-centric view as an administrator on the devices. So we don't want to make you just go, okay, which device, which mobile phone did this person have, right? We want you to go to the user first, then you can find all those devices associated with that particular user. As I said, we're using the ActiveSync policies. We're actually able to target them at a user group. So maybe you want to have a more restrictive policy for those devices, for that mailbox, for a set of users, and you want to have a less restrictive one for the other users, right? So maybe your execs, your non-execs, for example. You're also able to define restriction policies as far as access for families of devices. And then you're also able to do a wipe, which we talked about as well. On top of using the Exchange ActiveSync, we're also able to install software on these mobile devices. Let me just... So we will have a look at that. So we're using it. You need to have Exchange 2010, Exchange ActiveSync, and Windows Intune. Okay, so we get the inventory from Exchange. We actually do the mapping, so when they're enrolled into the Exchange environment, we get that association. So we associate that to the user's mailbox, and then we associate the user to the mailbox. We're able to manage those security policies, make sure they have the encryption on the drive, turning off the cameras, etc., the remote wipe. So how does all this work? So the top level you can see there, we're using directory synchronization. It's synchronizing into AD. And then what we do is we actually push down the policies that manage those security policies through the Windows Intune Exchange connector, which connects to EAS and makes sure that those devices have that secure policy. We're then able to monitor them. One of the big things is being able to actually find out to make sure that those machines have actually applied those policies. All right, so the policy is applied to the user's mailbox. As if you've used the Exchange ActiveSync, this should not be news to you. But we apply it to all of the mobile devices for that particular mailbox, right? So if they've got multiple smart devices, they're going to get the same policy for those. But we can actually target it to the individual users. We actually have configured a best practice as far as the mobile policies are concerned. You may elect to use those settings, or you may change them to suit your needs. And, yeah, as I said, we can set the password, configuration of the encryption, email security, and control some... Oh, the browser was the other one. And then the email. So when you... The other setting we're able to do is whether you allow the user to download email attachments, right? So they can still get email, but maybe you don't want to allow them to download attachments associated with that. So, of course, you don't want to see that. You actually want to see the device in action. So there we go. You can see me type in the passcode. In case you missed what that was 2468. In case you were wondering. Okay, so when I connect to the self-service portal, I will prove that this is no magic. It's not a static page. It is actually connecting over the wire. You know, this is like being on the cutting edge. Like, I am literally using a wireless connection to a cloud-based client management solution during a live demo. If anything's going to go wrong, it's going to be here. Just saying. It won't, though, but I'll fat finger my password. But okay, so I'm now logging into the self-service portal on a mobile device. You'll notice it looks a little bit different to what we had before with the PC. You can see the colors have changed as well, so my colors are the same whether I'm on a mobile device or a PC desktop. I don't get to see all the devices that I own, but I do get to see applications. You'll notice that the applications I see are different. These are the applications that were able to be installed on this device. So I didn't see all the other PC-based applications. I only saw the ones that will actually work on this device. Nothing more frustrating than seeing some new cool application, you go to install it and it fails, right? So we will install the expense approvals. If I hit the button, right? Okay. Again, you can see that it has additional information. So again, you could go to that help desk URL, find out got some training on this application. I will click on the install. Everybody's going to wait and see if it actually works. Oh, dude. Okay, let me try that again. It worked before you guys came in the room. Of course it did. No, I think it's the monkey behind the keyboard, or the touch, I guess. Okay, install. And I have just delivered a line of business application to my iPad. All right. Okay, so let's quickly, actually let me go back to, just to prove that we are actually monitoring that device and we can actually see what's going on. Let me go back to my groups and go to engineering. We'll go to the PM group actually. And I can see the users that are in this group, and that is myself. Here is my iPad. You can see that it's associated with me. If I open this up, so this is me as a end user. I can see all of the devices. You can see that I have no software distribution errors. That's always a good thing. Okay, and we can see all of the devices associated with myself. Right? I can drill into the iPad. I can actually see the hardware information that's provided to me through Exchange. You can see when it was last connected to Exchange, that sort of information. I can also see the policy that's associated with me. You can see this is the configuration of the policy. You can see that it conforms and it's pending update. You can see that it requires a minimum password length, an activity, the device is going to be locked. Okay. So let's go look at the details of the policy we can actually configure for these devices. And I will try to remember not to change them and then deploy them and lock myself out. Okay. All right, so do we want to do enforcement on these devices? How long the password is, whether it's alphanumeric or just numeric? How many attempts? I can also do encryption on this device if it supports encryption. I can actually prevent. So as you can see, these are actually the default settings. I can actually change these and say, yes, I do want to allow them to use them or do not download attachments. I can also turn off, enable the ability to not use the camera on these devices. I can hit the save on the policy, that'll get down deployed. Next time they connect to the Exchange ActiveSync, then that will actually update those policies on that device, and that policy will then apply to those devices. Anything else I wanted to show on that? No, I don't think so. Anybody have any other questions on the mobile device management before I move on? So that was not to the App Store, that was a line of business application that was sideloaded onto the iPad. So that logon prompt that I got was actually logging on to the self-service portal for Windows Intune via a web page, yes. Yep. Good question. Yes. I'm trying to remember. I thought it did, but I have a feeling I am incorrect. I do not believe it actually does an inventory of the applications for those devices, and in some cases that is a very good thing not to have, because there may be issues with knowing what applications are on a person's personal device, and the fact that you know that they have them can actually make you liable. So Richard, did you want to? Yes, correct. And that was inventory, in case anybody is confused what the inventory had to do with not the infantry, it's the inventory. I'll do the English to American translation through a Kiwi. Sorry, there was a question over here, and then I'll go over there. Yes. So that's all being done by Exchange ActiveSync. So we don't have any control over that. So I don't have information on how it's actually... It's using the native device to connect to Exchange. Yes. What we're doing is we're setting policy on the mailbox. When that device then actually connects to Exchange, it's receiving that as part of the payload from Exchange. Yep. Good question. No. You need Exchange 2010, Exchange ActiveSync, and then we have an Exchange connector. Actually, just quickly while we're in here, you will also then need to download the Exchange connector, which allows us to then talk to Exchange. This release does not work with Office 365. No, just on-premise Exchange.
Well, to be clear on that, so if you open a user account, and that user account has its mailbox in the cloud, you can still manage all the devices for that user, but you won't have the mobile devices that come through. We need that Exchange EAS connector, and that isn't available in the Office cloud at the moment. It's something we're working on.
There's one more question, I think, and then I'll try and carry on, and then we'll come back to more questions. Yes. No, we do not have uninstall for those applications as well. I mean, we do know which applications are there. Conceivably, you could write I don't want to go down that path. But you could write an install that did an uninstall, but you know, we won't go down that path. All right. Sorry, I'll grab some more questions at the end. We probably will have time to get through them. So let me get through the rest of the presentation, and we will come back to that. All right. So probably got another 5 or 10 minutes just on some additional features that weren't necessarily associated with some of the user-centric work we were doing. Bandwidth optimization. Obviously, when you're distributing applications, those applications can be somewhat large. So one of the things we wanted to make sure we did is that, you know, if you have devices and users in the same location, you can actually optimize that peer relationship and install that software from a peer rather than having every device in a single location going over the wire to download that software. So what we did is we're actually leveraging the Windows 7 peer distribution API, which is the technology that powers branch cache in Windows 7. And we're actually able then to have, you know, the first machine gets a policy, it says, hey, it gets a piece of software and says, hey, you need to install this, downloads the content for that piece of software, and then every subsequent machine that actually needs that same software will actually do a broadcast, say, hey, has anybody got this piece of software before I go across the wire? Says, hey, yep, I've got it. This is all encrypted. And here you go. You can go and install this directly. So instead of every client going across your internet connection, it actually uses the peer support. All of this content is encrypted. The number I'm seeing down here, the pre-release seeing, what we're seeing, this was used on our internal Microsoft environment. We're seeing around about 45% savings just in WAN traffic alone by enabling this. So it's fairly significant, especially if you have a lot of users that are using the same applications. Policy management. All right, so I talked a little bit about the new ability to actually fire those on a particular device. You can actually refresh policies, do a remote task and refresh policies for those devices, as well as refresh the inventory. Alerts. Again, I demoed this. We actually do the filtering. You can actually filter by category as well as change the alert information. So if there's a bunch of alerts you don't want to get notified on so regularly, you can turn them down as well. You can also turn them off. And I want to reiterate, you know, we've done all this work for user-centric computing. The devices are still there. You've still got to deploy software to devices. You know, usually the way I like to talk to customers about how they might want to distribute software is, if you have software that needs to go to all your devices, you might as well just push it to the devices and make sure it's, you know, kind of like the baseline of those applications that you need. So go ahead and do that. What you can do is you can actually
leverage our dynamic group membership also for those devices. So you're able to create dynamic groups for devices in a domain or devices in an OU. So we get that information from the inventory that is sent up from those devices. You're then able to target it. So as you have new machines joining those domains or joining those OUs, we're able to automatically push out software to them. Okay? And then you can use the user targeting for the additional optional applications that you don't know whether everybody needs in that organization. You can make them available to them. They can choose to deploy them at their leisure. Update management. One of the feedback we got around update management was that it was really hard to try and find out all of the updates that are associated with a particular Patch Tuesday. So what we've done is actually able to collapse that information down so you're now able to see your effective deployment results for a particular Patch Tuesday. Okay. All right, so in summary, before we get to questions. All right. So we spent a lot of work already in Wave 1 and Wave 2 focusing on how we manage the device, right? We're able to send updates, endpoint protection, make sure they've got the latest digital signatures for any malware, make sure they've got the latest service pack updates from Microsoft or non-Microsoft vendors, making sure that we're able to distribute the core pieces of software that everybody needs in that organization, right? And also able to configure their security configuration. With this release, we spent a lot of time focusing on how do we make it easier for the administrator to deploy to users, making sure that the user, regardless of which device they use to connect to the enterprise, they're able to make sure that, first of all, the administrator is able to make sure they're secure, right? You want to make sure they have a secure connection, make sure that they're actually, that device itself is actually secure. And second of all, minimize the amount of time the administrator has to deal with the users around making software that's available to them to install. We really want to power the user to decide which software they need, right? Okay. And as we said, it's shipped on Monday. It's now available. There is a 30-day evaluation version. You can go to windowsintune.com, sign up. You get 25 PC licenses. Feel free to install them as your leisure. Play around with it. See how it looks. Okay. As far as licensing, I just want to make some comments on the licensing. So licensing for Windows Intune is per PC. You get a per PC license that entitles one user per PC, and then you have four additional mobile device licenses essentially associated with that as well. Okay. Questions? Actually, well, the questions, can you guys please go to make sure we get to the mic? That way they're also recorded as well. Sorry.
In the user login page, instead of having those tiles, could you change the tiles for JPEGs? Like, for example, Adobe, can you put the Adobe JPEG in there?
Not currently, no. Yeah, we just have the tiles. And obviously, they get smaller and change slightly as you have more and more of them. So, good feedback, though. Other questions? Sorry. It takes a little longer when you've got to walk to the mic, yeah. I guess.
Maybe my ignorance on Exchange, since we don't run it.
Yep.
Is there availability to do the management, like basically stream down Exchange to only do the components that would allow for the mobile device management?
No, you would have to deploy an on-premise Exchange environment. Right. You'd have to configure the on-premise Exchange environment. So the Exchange server, Exchange ActiveSync, and then, because we actually need to be, the Intune service needs to be able to communicate with the Exchange on-premise server. So it's not just a matter of having an Exchange Outlook on the device. It's actually a matter of actually having that server infrastructure so we can push down the policy to those mailboxes.
Well, I guess that was my question, was to really say, was there a way to minimize the Exchange footprint just to be able to do the mobile piece? Or do you have to actually run more through the Exchange in order to do
it? Yeah, you have to run through the Exchange server.
Got it.
Yep.
Can you just comment on integration with Config Manager?
So with this release, there's not a lot of integration with Configuration Manager. Obviously, this is a bunch of feedback we've heard fairly consistently with the shared customers. Obviously, we talked about how we want to make sure we're a companion for Configuration Manager. It's definitely some comments we've heard loud and clear, and that's kind of all I am kind of permitted and going to say on the topic, but we do understand that feedback. Let me put it that way. Anything else you wanted to add to that, Richard? Did I do a good job on that one? Okay. Sorry?
You said nothing. It was great.
I said nothing directly. Correct. Yes.
Is Intune compatible with BPOSD environments and the Mississippi AD Sync?
With BPOS what?
365.
That is a very good question that I do not have the answer for. My guess is no. We're actually obviously using the services provided by Microsoft. So if you have a dedicated BPOS environment, I would suggest no, but I do not know the answer to that. So we can talk later and follow up on that one.
Can you speak to where things stand in terms of road mapping with like Android support for sandboxing of the mailbox or due to the lack of native encryption that's there and where things stand relative to selective wipe capabilities as opposed to the full wipe that EAS does?
No, I cannot. Yep. I mean, obviously we don't have that capability today, but that we do know. You know, there's a lot of feedback we've got around, okay, it is a personal device, but how do you separate the company data, company apps, from personal apps and personal data? Yeah. But I don't have any more information than that to share at this point.
So when you wipe, what do you actually wipe?
We wipe the device. So it goes back to the factory settings, yeah.
Okay.
You know when you fat finger and you know when your kids fat finger it? And your device gets wiped, that's that experience. Yep. It's a factory reset, yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah, but you have wiped that corporate data, right? Yes, you do, yeah. I don't know the answer to that. I don't want to speculate on an answer for that. That's purely an exchange to, email client capability. So I'm not the subject matter expert on whether DRMS is used for exchange attachments for those devices. I'd be speculating if I gave you an answer on that. So, all right, no further questions. I'll be hanging around. We have another session. The next session we're going to do in this room is around client management in general in the Windows 8 timeframe. So we're going to talk about some of the things, early thinking we've been doing around both Configuration Manager, Windows Intune, and just client management in general within the Windows 8 timeframe. So please feel free to stick around.